Well, good evening. It's Saturday, November 25th, 2023. Boy, we are marching on toward 2024, aren't we? Well, God bless you. Well, here we are in Psalm 119, and we're continuing on the second section of eight verses, where each verse begins with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Beth. Verse 9 in the King James Version is where we'll begin. A theologian of the 1870s said of Psalm 119, "It is the Christian's golden ABCs of the praise, the love, the power, and use of the Word of God." So in verse 9, here we go. Beth, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. What a great question. It is very straightforward. You know, the young man in this verse is a young man who has been raised in the scriptures. Now, I know I mentioned early on that some thought it was a compilation of many psalmists. But really, when you read this, and along with all the other psalms, and you're familiar with the life of David, most believe that David did write this, and I am going to officially go with that. So, you know, we know that David was raised in the scriptures, and we even have God's testimony that God looked upon his heart. He didn't see as other people saw. It's what he told Samuel when Samuel went to meet him at his father's home. So I also think again of Timothy that we've recently studied. In the Hebrew, young man is a word that refers to a young boy or a girl arriving at the age of making their manner of life and conduct their own. They arrived at that opening of their way. Now their life was theirs to determine. They were kind of cutting the strings to the parents. The Hebrew word literally means to shake off, which refers to the casting off of the yoke that was placed there by the parental care and training. So he's shaken off the intricate and tender care that his parents provided him. And at this point, he or she is at the opening of their way in life. So although David and this young man, as he's recounting, he's been trained up in the word, but you know, youth is full of passion and inexperience. You can have a pure heart, you can know scriptures, you can know the word, but his practical application in maintaining his manner of living without that parental oversight is it's unproven, and he realizes that. So he comes to God with this question. He's already chosen to walk in the way of the Lord God, but now he's desiring, as in craving, God's help for him as he makes this transition. So here he is now at the opening of his own way in life. It's not as easy as it looked when his mom walked every step with him. You know, he probably already was foreseeing obstacles he would face. The outside influences that are upon his reasoning, they're going to become more complex as he begins to navigate life. And in his mother's training him up, he would have been taught, you go to God, you go to God. So here he is. He's a young man at the opening of his life, and he's very concerned. So he asks God, he prays. He's praying for God to teach him the practical side of remembering and keeping the word. You know, life isn't an easy road to victory, that is for sure. The young man sees that he will not remain cleansed by walking in his own wisdom. You know, it is God alone who will teach him to be an overcomer of his flesh and of the temptations that the devil is going to throw in his direction. And of his own choosing, he goes to God for help. He already has the knowledge that he needs to take heed according to the word, and he's been doing that under the supervision of his parents. But that's knowing the word. This young man now at the opening of his way prays for God to show him personally how to keep his way clean in the practical sense with all these new associations that will be in his life. How do I cleanse my way? He petitions God. And the word for cleanse is just gorgeous. It is from a root word meaning translucent. And it can be physically or morally. It means to be bright, to be shining, to be pure. And David wants his course of living and acting to shine, to be translucent. And think about it, what a glory to God that would be. This year, we have kept glorifying God as kind of the backdrop for our studies. And we've seen it all throughout the year, how our lives glorify, can glorify, and should glorify God. Well, here it is. Everywhere we go, we can be translucent. We can be bright. We can be shining. We can be pure in our manner of life and in our dealings with other people, whether they be believer or unbeliever. How David's prayers, questions, and petitions must have thrilled the heart of our loving Almighty God, who tells us that he withholds no good thing. Psalm 84:11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun, S-U-N, and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And really, walking uprightly brings us right back to verse 9, by taking heed according to God's word. Our heart's desire to walk for God is the necessary start, because that is our heart motivation, and that sets it all. We want to know him so that we can walk for him and walk with him. We crave it. It's in the sense of we're begging God for this wonderful relationship. So help me. The Bible is our map. It keeps us on course. And, you know, even today, with the most accurate navigational gadgets that we depend on, if we don't follow their prompts, we're not going to go where we wanted to go. We're going to end up somewhere else. So to be led in a clean way, the Word of God is absolutely necessary. And to go in a clean way, to follow that map is absolutely necessary. If the young man says he desires it, but yet he doesn't take heed, then somewhere his desire is problematic. True desire of the heart will exercise its free will to go to the Word for study, for thoughtful consideration, and prayer for God to help him and lead him in his understanding. God tells us in many ways and many times throughout his word to bring our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength to his table. And then God will do the rest. It's a great partnership. taking heed is urgent. Being young and strong, you know, you feel impervious. It's natural to live carelessly. Not always recognizing or thinking the dangers are really as dangerous as they are, or the difficulties of traveling through life will really be that difficult because we just feel impervious in our youth. But a theologian from the 1660s captured the essence with his words of understanding. Now, this is a long sentence, but I'll break it up in phrases because it is loaded with powerful insight. It says, "Let him enter," speaking of this young man, "let him enter that great school of the Holy Spirit, the divine scripture, and commit himself to the conduct of those blessed oracles, and he shall effectually be convinced by his own experience of the incredible virtue, the vast and mighty power of God's word, in the success it hath upon him, and in his daily progression and advances in heavenly wisdom." But, you know, the word is our armor. It is our spiritual weaponry, and it will hew down the enemy in whatever stubborn and persistent form he takes against us. Whether it's pride, lust, anger within us, or whether it's the glittering of the world out there, we might be able to push it off in a corner for a moment, but if you want to defeat it each time, you've got to have the Word of God, and you've got to have His mighty power present, and with your believing heart. Another theologian summed it up this way: prayer without taking heed is only another name for presumption. Prayer and carelessness can never walk hand in hand together. And I therefore say that there is no fence nor guard that can so effectually keep out every enemy as the prayerful reading of the Word of God, bringing every solicitation from the world or from companions, every suggestion from our own hearts and passions, to the test of God's Word. What says the Bible? The answer of the Bible, with the teaching and enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, will in all the intricacies of our road be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So now we're going to move on to verse 10. David says, "With my whole heart I have sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments." So David sought God with his whole heart. And whole heart, it's used figuratively for a wide variety of feelings, really. The will and the intellect. David's whole heart included his inner mind, his understanding, his soul, his conscience, his moral character, his appetites for life, his emotions, passions, and all his courage. And then he says, "With all of this, with my whole heart, have I sought thee." And it means that he investigated, he inquired, he asked with great care. He studied, he practiced, he followed. He sought with his whole heart, with the specific heart's desire to live it accordingly. He went hard after God to receive God's wisdom. And I keep using that word crave. And I think of this is kind of the attitude of it. When our grandsons were small, we would take them to Toys R Us, and they would have something hot on their minds that was newest thing on the market, and we were going to go in Toys R Us and find it. And we would get there, and they would run ahead of us. They would find it on a corner of an aisle, and they would jump up and down. There it is. There it is. Grandpa, I've got to have this. I've got to have this. That's what I mean by craving. David had to have it. He had to have it. And he knew God had it. So I really love that. He craved it, so to speak. He wanted a relationship with God, and he was willing to seek after it. And his expectation was that God would help him keep his word. It's obvious that he sought the Lord, because if he had not, he wouldn't have been hot on the trail to cleanse his way as he began to take on accountability for his own life. So, next, he prayed for God to keep him so he does not wander from the commandments. And when you think about it, he is foremost concerned that perhaps he would inadvertently wander. You know, David's already been living a life where his determination was that he was not going to deliberately walk contrary to God's revelation, to God's instructions for life. And he had been trained up that way. But now he has all these new associations. They're just on the horizon. He's just reaching the opening of his way in life. And he says, Lord, let me not wander from thy commandments. I don't want to get caught up with how other people live. And even as much as stray inadvertently by an accident or an oversight, I don't want to stray from your commandments. And I love this quote. I read it this week. It says, the man of God exerts himself, but he does not trust himself. His heart is in his walking with God, but he knows that even his whole strength is not enough to keep him right. God must be his keeper. And he who made the commands shall make him constant in obeying them. Hence the prayer, oh, let me not wander. Still, this sense of need was never turned into an argument for idleness. For while he prayed to be kept in the right road, he took care to run in it with his whole heart, seeking the Lord. You know, that really strikes the precise balance. We aren't lazy. Absolutely not. We study. We are diligent. We put thought, great thought, I would say tears and sweat, into our thought for our lives, that it would be according to his word. And David's integrity of heart is so apparent in his every expression. And, you know, think about this young man carrying on this intimate conversation with the searcher of hearts, with the Lord God Almighty, with Jehovah. There was no fear in him about being open and direct before God, with God. He certainly didn't shiver or quake at the thought of going to God and talking to him. Heavens no. I would say that he probably pushed the envelope in every direction. But his heart, he was willing to do whatever was necessary to have God's blessings upon his life, to have God's understanding within his heart. And in verse 11, he said, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Here it is again. The word he hid in his heart kept him hidden from sin. And that's how it works. He stored away every nuance of God's voice with the greatest of affection. He attended it like it was the true treasure that it truly is. He hid the word in the best place for the best purpose. And that's what verse 11 says. Hiding the word in our hearts is the best prevention for sin. And if David had been one who only read the book, he would have suffered significant loss of its power. But because he affectionately hid it in his heart, and inwardly that hidden word empowered and enlightened his life. The word hiding in our hearts, it's the supreme power and protection against sin. David sought the Lord to hide his word in his heart so it would be his very own. He wasn't hiding it, trying to get it so that he could flaunt it in front of his peers. No. He was content with this treasure being hidden in his heart because, after all, the results in him living and loving God would be the witness to others. He wouldn't have to tell them what he did. He taught the word. He taught about loving God. But it wasn't to flaunt things before people, his spirituality. No. His life spoke for his spirituality. Verse 12 now. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Now here the word for blessed is different from the word blessed in verse 1, where we read where blessed meant, oh, happy, happy. In this verse, it's a different Hebrew word, and it means to bend the knees. And what it does, it implies kneeling in an act of adoration. So, out of David's intense admiration for the divineness of God's character, he praised him in this psalm with adulation. David knew that the blessedness he saw in God would follow him into his own life, as he conformed himself to God's holiness. And as soon as the scripture was in his mind, he first prayed to Jehovah to teach him what it meant, so he could hide it away in his heart. And as we continue reading this psalm, we got a lot more to go. We're going to see that David was totally looking to God for advancement in his understanding. Verse 13, he says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. So, one who is taught is to teach others. We are to teach others also. What we learn in secret, what God impresses upon our hearts and marks in our minds, we should then, in a timely manner, openly proclaim it. And when you think about it, how do you feel after sharing truths that you've just learned? Well, I know how I feel. I'm high as a kite. Sure. Even before I record these studies, a lot of times I sort of do spoiler alerts along the way as I'm talking to believers. But then by the time to record, there's even more depth of heart to share. I just have a clearer picture in my mind because I've spoken the things I've learned out loud, and it just falls into place. Lips enable the formation of words in our mouths. You know, words aren't going to come out unless our lips move. And the words from the mouth of God are poised upon our lips so we can speak to the world. So there's no zipping our lips when it comes to sharing God's word. Absolutely not. We open our lips, enabling our speech mechanism, and we recount or relate all of his divine ways accurately. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. David was cheerful and glad, with great joy in his journey. The direction, the manner of God's precepts, speaking of the witnesses of God's greatness, like the heaping of stones to remember the parting of the Red Sea. God would have them along the way. Put up a bunch of stones here. Remember, remember, remember. That's what they were for. They were markers. You know, David would have been trained up in these scriptures and these testimonies or the evidence of God's marvelous working on behalf of his people, and especially in their times of need. Remembering that all the riches can be stolen or they can be corrupt, but the evidences of God's works can never be disproven and they can never come to naught. God's testimonies are the true riches, where moth doth not corrupt, nor where thieves break through and steal. You know, David knew riches of both kinds. He was a king. Gold and silver filled the king's treasury. He could go look at it any time he wanted. And yet, at this point in his life, when he is sharing Psalm 119, he is remembering all the times in his life, throughout his life, from his youth, from being a young man, throughout his kingdom. He's remembering and rejoicing in the way of God's testimonies. Rejoicing in the word of God is a testimony that it has affected our hearts, because that's where joy and rejoicing comes from. And that's how the cleansing happens. So David rejoiced not only in hearing the word, but in the doing of it. And in verse 15, he says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Oh, what a spiritual workout this is. Studying, pondering, even conversing with yourself. You know, talking over truths with yourself that you're contemplating. You might even talk out loud. You know, it's revolving within your own mind the various thoughts about a spiritual matter. It makes you think of other verses. It's, you know, it is giving the truth a workout with your inquiring and prayerful heart. And precepts are those commandments that God has properly appointed. The verse says that David will show regard. He will pay attention and consider God's way of living at all times. And the word, the way, it's a mode of action pleasing to God. It's a manner of life, a manner of living. David determined, he resolved in his heart to think about that all the time, and was motivated by the greatest regard for God's counsel. So now in verse 16, he says again, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So here he repeats in this verse. David repeated what he's going to continue doing and doing even more. He said it over and over. I will. And you know, what a stunning close to the second set of eight verses. For the second letter of this Hebrew alphabet, biblical meditation brings the word into our mind for consideration. And then, with that biblical meditation, with that thoughtful peering into the width and the length and the height and the depth of the point of truth we're considering, an actionable response comes forward from our hearts. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Because we craved it, and now we've got it, and we're going to do it. Each one of these points builds upon the former to weave a strong cord. So wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So enjoy your soul's earnest meditation over these eight verses, and the next time we'll pick up with verse 17 in our next segment on this study, the biblical lifestyle of remembering God. God bless you all.